In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I pray that everyone at home is doing well and staying safe with your families. Of course, this is a difficult time for all of us. But it's a time for us perhaps not to think of ourselves, but to think of the greater good for the rest of the country and the rest of the world. The only way that we can fight this virus is to do it collectively and together, and to try to stop the spread as much as possible. And if some of us choose not to partake in the precautions that the governments of the world have put before us, then we do the world a disservice. And at the end of the day, the Lord Christ told us that He came to save the world, not to judge or destroy the world. So we share in His work while we abide by the guidelines set before the government. And we should do so not grudgingly, but as the Bible commands us, to submit to the governing authorities as in the Lord. Of course, on behalf of Abuna and myself, we miss you all very dearly. And this time will be, as they say, here they have a saying that says, distance makes the heart grow fonder. And certainly this distance will make our heart much more fonder for you, and eagerly waiting to see you all here in the church together. And also, it'll make us fonder of one another as well. You know, sitting here, looking at the church, although it's empty, but I certainly feel all of your prayers with us when we were praying together the Igbeya and reading the readings, because I know all of your love for the church and for the Lord Jesus. But what came to my mind was part of the Theotokia, the Sunday Theotokia. We pray what? We pray through her prayers and intercessions, O Lord, open unto us the gates of the church. I entreat you, O Mother of God, keep the gates of the church open to the faithful. Let us ask her to intercede for us before our Lord, that He may forgive us our sins. And I never really felt this part of the tazbeha or the prayer before until today. You know, the gates of the church have always been open. There are, of course, brief moments in history where God permits them to be closed, and perhaps this is for our repentance and for our returning to Him. Before I begin the rest of the sermon, I forgot to mention, if you look here on the YouTube application or the website, you'll find there's a certain chat here on the side, and this we see here as well. I would like, if this section was reserved for questions, that Abuna and I can look at and try to answer them, so we feel there's a connection, and this can be somewhat interactive as much as possible. So all of the comments, you know, we understand your prayers are with us, and we ask for God's mercy, but maybe we can keep the comments and leave it strictly for questions, so we can see them at a glance rather than having kita to scroll, and then we can answer anything, questions that you might have. If we look at the passage of today, is the fourth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. The church reads for us the passage of the Samaritan woman, which we're all very familiar with. And if we look, I'd like to meditate on a few points about the life of the Samaritan woman and this interaction with the Lord Jesus, and perhaps what we can learn during these times where we feel perhaps stressed, or we feel isolated, or we feel under distress. The first point I'd like to make is that the Samaritan woman perhaps was running from repentance and confession. She was running from it. We see that the Samaritan woman came at the sixth hour, which is around noon. And this is a time where the sun is hot, and this is the time where most people don't go to draw water. They go early in the morning or late in the evening where the sun is manageable. But this woman, she went in the midday, because she had five husbands, and of course at this time this was not a popular thing, and it was of course looked at very negatively, and she was somewhat shameful of her situation. So she went in the middle of the day. Perhaps if we asked her why you had five husbands, she would say about 1 through 5 that there was something wrong with each one of these men that I married, and thus I divorced them. But I'm confident that this number 6 is the one who's going to treat me right and is the right one for me. And I think part of the Lord meeting her at this moment, when she was perhaps running from her repentance and running from her sin, He met her right at this moment. It reminds me of a couple of verses I'll read for you, in Ephesians chapter 5. St. Paul tells us, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And then also in John chapter 3, the Lord says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So those who run from the light will remain in darkness. But the way to come to the light is exposing the darkness, is exposing the sin. So this is, you know, very key, that if we have certain sins in our life, that they be exposed. Also in Ephesians 5, the St. Paul continues and says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whoever makes manifest is light." So the Samaritan woman, part of her healing was the exposing of her sin. And of course, this is very difficult for us to face our own sin and to acknowledge our own sin. But this is primarily the first step in repentance and healing. Facing my sin and my weakness requires humility. It requires humility. That's why in the readings today, we spoke about, or the church chose for us readings that spoke about humility and how the humble is the one whom God lifts up. Her healing began at the moment that her sin was exposed. Whether I expose my sin myself, either coming to Abuna and exposing it to him, or perhaps God permits a situation in my life where my sin is exposed, both of these situations should end the same in my repentance. Sometimes people will say, I can confess my sin and admit my own sin, but I can't handle anyone else bringing out or pointing to my sin. But either way, the response should be the same. If you remember when David committed the sin with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet came and told him the story and judged him and told him, "You are the man," he immediately said, "I have sinned against the Lord." He didn't, you know, get on his case. He didn't, yell at him, get angry with him. But when he was met and his sin was put before him, he repented. And this is why David is who he is in the church and in the Bible. This great man, that when he was faced with his sin, or somebody faced, you know, it brought his sin before him in the light and was exposed before him, he repented humbly before him. So perhaps during these times in which we're alone at our homes and we have more time to ourselves, we can put ourselves face to face with our sins a little bit more. And in doing so, this perhaps might renew our life. Certainly the world will be perhaps a different world after this this outbreak or this pandemic. But I can make it better for myself. I can make it better for myself through my repentance. The second point is the need of the gift of God. When he asked her for a drink, and she says, "You have nothing to draw with." And then he told her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." So he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink. What is this gift of God? The fathers of the church, they tell us that this gift of God is the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit is the one that gives us power to overcome our sins. And as we see the Samaritan woman, we can say that prior to her meeting with the Lord, she was in the midst of her sin. She was living with a man who was not her husband. And she came out desiring to take from the water that does not nourish. She has to come back every day to come and get this water. So she was in the midst of her sin. And she wanted to avoid the shame of her sin. So she was running from it. But the gift of God is what Christ was going to give her. And we see that He gives this to her through her speaking with her, through her, His forgiveness. And then ultimately she leaves her pot and goes back to her city. So that same sin, or the symbol of the sin, is like this water pot, or the water that doesn't quench that she's trying to go after, is a symbol of sin. And she leaves it and goes without it. So this is like a sign of healing. The very thing that she was shameful of and wanting to hide, she left after she exposed it, forgiven, and went back without it. The gift of God, as we see in this passage, can only be distributed and given by the Lord Jesus Himself. During these difficult times, and perhaps times of stress in our life, we need to focus on the gifts that God gives us to support us and to give us healing. Like what? What are some of the gifts of God that God gives us for healing and support? And number one is the gift of standing before Him in prayer. And this can be done anywhere and at any time. And no one can take this from us. Even at some points in the lives of the saints, they'd say they would cut their tongues because of their praying. But does cutting the tongue really stop a person from praying? Or can it stop someone from praying? Absolutely not. We can pray from our heart. And God hears the heart, and He knows the depths that are in man and the depths that are in our hearts. So even cutting our tongues, or keeping us isolated from one another, or keeping us from gathering in the church, all of these things do not keep us from being united in prayer with one another. This is the same thing if you consider what the Lord said in John 16. He says, "Therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." So what the Lord gives us, no one can take from us, despite the external circumstances that are around us. Whether we're going through a hardship in our life, whether we're facing a pandemic together, any circumstance, no one can take my relationship with God, my prayer between Him and I, and no one can take the joy that God gives me in my heart. This gives us support and healing. Also, reminding ourselves of His promises. All of these things, reminding ourselves that He promised us with His kingdom. He promised us that the gates of the church will never be overcome by evil. All of these things give us this reassurance and gives us strength to continue our way. Also, what gives us support and healing is reminding ourselves with His prior deliverance and sustenance. When we look back in our life and think of the many other times we've gone through difficult times, or we've gone through certain situations where we feel like we're alone and we need Him, and He was there. Sometimes, you know, we are very easily forget these things. At the moment, we thank Him and we praise Him for it, but then they're easily forgotten. Perhaps we can begin to make a small diary. And in this diary, we can record the moments in which Christ was with me, and He delivered me from different circumstances, whether it's at work, whether it's in relationships that we have with our peers and family, or whether it's with a certain struggle in my own life, and God has delivered me from maybe from a particular sin. Put these things in this journal, and recall them in times of weakness or in times of doubt. Also, He gives us the fellowship of the believers, our family and friends of the church. And this provides us with comfort. And now that everybody is spending a lot of time at home, and I'm sure more on social media can be a great avenue for depression and a great avenue for all the negative news and for humor and so on. But let's use this social media or this tool for good, to encourage one another, not to criticize and to, you know, instill fear in one another, but no, instill hope in one another and encourage one another. And if there's any way that we can offer assistance to one another, let's do that. Point number three is to hope in the Lord, to hope in the Lord. The Samaritan woman put her hope in the Lord. How can we deduce this? After admitting her sin to the Lord, and she says, "I have no husband." And he told her, "You're right, you have no husband, and you had five husbands, and the one you have isn't your own." And he said, "In this you spoke truly." The immediate thing after that she does after this, she then transitions to a greater matter, the matter of worship. And she says, "Well, where is the place where one ought to worship? You say it's there, and we say it's here." And she didn't question, you know, the Lord's knowledge about her sin, nor did she, you know, accuse him of speaking with anybody in her family or her friends or anybody that knew her situation. She didn't get on his case, but yet she says, "I perceive that you are a prophet." She didn't get angry with him. You know, she just said, "I have no husband." But he's actually the one that continued and said, "You're right, you had five husbands, and the one you have isn't your own." So he kind of finished her repentance and her confession for her. And she didn't get angry at this. Why so? Why this transition from, you know, her focus of being her sin to now the focus of worship? Is because she saw something in his face. Perhaps she saw in his face that the obvious forgiveness. And I want to stop here for a moment. This obvious forgiveness imparts hope. When we can, you know, when somebody does us wrong or does something to offend us, and then they come, perhaps with their head down, or they come in wanting to apologize, you can tell from a perfect person's face whether they're ready to forgive and move on, or whether they want to hold it against you and continue to question and to, you know, bash you about why you did them wrong. But the Lord Jesus, I think he had on his face an obvious face of forgiveness, to the point where she felt comfortable to move on to the next point, which is about worship. So perhaps we can do the same, is have this face of forgiveness. When somebody comes to ask for forgiveness, we're ready and willing, perhaps even without even saying a word. How many times have our children perhaps done something to us that wasn't right, and we just forgive and move on? We don't expect, you know, an apology sometimes, but we forgive and we move on. This is perhaps how it should be. Not to say that there are times where we need to be firm and we need to make it known that we're upset, but having this face of forgiveness, that when people come ready to apologize, they know for sure that they won't be, you know, hammered because they're coming to repent and ask for forgiveness. This gives hope to everyone, and I think it did for the Samaritan. In the Matins Psalm, it says, if you read the readings from this morning, it begins, it says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your hearts, all you who hope in the Lord." So, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in him. So hope in his support and forgiveness. The fourth point is to wait on the Lord. After the Samaritan, after Christ clarified her understanding of worship, and he tells her that it's not about the place of worship, but the Father is looking for those who worship in spirit and truth. Then she expressed to him the place where her hope lies. She responded to this clarification and said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things." So he says, "Okay, I take you as a prophet. With all due respect, okay, when the Messiah comes, in whom all of our hope is in, when he comes, he will tell us now all things." So basically she's saying to him, I will wait on the Lord. I will wait on the Lord. Sometimes again during these trying times, all we can really do is wait patiently on the Lord's deliverance. If you think about the time of the flood, you know, the people were on the flood, Noah's family, and they were waiting, not knowing when the rain would stop, not knowing when the waters will recede. But what was called for them is just to wait patiently. And in this patient waiting, it's almost like we're giving up control. We wait on the Lord, and times are in His hands. And we believe that all things are in His hands, and all things are according to His good will. So something good can come from all of this, and something will be good that comes from all of this. We just have to wait and endure perhaps the anxiety or the discomfort of waiting. But perhaps in this very discomfort is where we grow. Make the best of the certain the current situation. Use the time to spend with our family. Use the time to perhaps do the reading that you've been wanting to do and could not. There's a beautiful prayer called the Serenity Prayer. And perhaps this, I think, applies to this situation now. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So he says, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I can't change. We can't change the current situation of the pandemic. But it says, give me the courage to change the things that I can. The things that I can change are perhaps how I treat one another. The devotion that I give to the Lord in my prayer and my fasting and my Bible reading. These are the things that I can change. And perhaps we need the courage to change these things while we're using this time to focus on ourselves a little bit more, and then the wisdom to know the difference, when I can change things and when I can't change things. The last point, and very briefly here, is to be a source of light. After the Samaritan woman met with the Lord Christ, she went and told the men in the city about the Lord Jesus and said, come see the man who told me all that I ever did. She found hope and forgiveness in the Lord. And then she said, I can't keep it to myself, but I must share it with others. I must share it with others. Perhaps this can be a positive use. You know, when we share how God is delivering and God uses, you know, these current circumstances, which we might see as being something bad or evil or hard, and we can see the good out of it. Let's share the good that is coming out of it. I remember during the time of Hurricane Harvey here in Houston, of course, it was a very troubling time, but I remember, thankfully, some of the news stations were broadcasting the generosity and the selfless acts that people were doing. People were driving from 7-8 hours away to come with their boat and their trucks, not knowing who they're going to help, but just coming to offer whatever assistance that can be offered. So let this be a positive, something positive that can come, let something positive come out of it. Perhaps this message of hope that I might share with somebody is the very medicine that a person needs at that very moment. So let's be his agent of peace and hope, especially during this difficult time. I'll give just a brief moment here. I'll look here for a moment and see if there's anything. Someone asked about continuing the Bible study online. God willing, every evening we'll save the Bible studies, the series that we've been doing, whether in Arabic or in the English. We'll put those on pause until after, you know, this, you know, time of containment happens, and we'll begin to focus on the fast itself. You know, every day there are readings that we ought to read for the fast. So we'll focus on these readings. So every evening we'll have a small contemplation about the readings of the day. And we can kind of begin to tie the readings with one another throughout the Holy Great Fast, what it's remaining of it. And that way we can live in the fast and use the time, okay, perhaps we can't live in the fast in church, but we can live it in our homes and through the reading. So we'll do that. Can we have evening? Yes, we'll have evening prayers as well. We'll have the morning prayer will be from 10 to 11, and the evening prayer will be from 5 to 6. So we'll do this every day, you know, until, you know, the church is opened again. So every day we'll have something here that we can stream live, and we'll have this interactive way as well. Will the hymns classes be online? Still no, not yet, to my knowledge. Of course, this is all new to us. We never tried for it to be on online, but maybe there's something we can look into. And I believe the streaming cut off. Wait, I think somebody's putting it back on. Just because we're past the time, somebody asked a question here about the Synaxarium, and perhaps maybe Abuna can answer this in the evening session. So God willing, we'll make the evening prayers from 5 to 6 p.m. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Let's pray.